Views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Hey now, welcome back to the Drive Time. I'm Dave Glover. My guest in the studio is Rob Washburn, and we are still waiting. Sonia Vallejo will be here. She's coming from she's coming from Peterborough, so I don't know if there's a traffic problem on 28 or not, but she's going to be joining us in the studio very shortly, and we're going to be talking about sexual assault, specifically sexual assault and the courts. We've seen a number of cases. There was another case recently where a gentleman was acquitted. He didn't believe the testimony of the victim, the complainant, I think is the term lawyers like to use, because she didn't seem to be as affected as she probably should have been, in his opinion anyway. And this was a weird case, because this was a case involving a stepfather and a stepdaughter. Did you hear about this case?
Go ahead.
So she had been inappropriately touched, basically groomed by her stepfather since she was in fourth grade. Okay, she was now 19 years old. She was testifying. But she was pretty, in the opinion of the judge, she didn't seem as effective as somebody should have been after having been assaulted sexually for that length of time. He thought she was somewhat laissez-faire about the whole thing. Now, some analysts have said, though, that there is a part in the brain that wants to sort of normalize situations, because two things happen. One, you don't want to alarm other family members about what's happening, because he told her when she was young, you know, don't tell anybody about this. You're going to get it. You'll be the one who gets into trouble. So she sort of normalized. Again, a psychologist said that, you know, victims in this situation, and not specific to this case, because I was reading a report from someone from Saskatchewan, and they were saying, look, women and victims in this kind of situation normalize it in their mind because they don't want to create a problem. They don't want to get in trouble, and they also don't want the person who is victimizing them to get in trouble because of the perception that it was their fault. That was basically how that rolled out.
Dave, I mean, we were front page of the Toronto Star today. We saw the picture of Senator Meredith and an article that he has now been, the Ethics Committee has made its ruling asking that he be removed from the Senate. Yep. And there'll be a vote coming up. And, I mean, part of that story is that he was involved with somebody underage in a sexual relationship. And you find out as part of that the young woman did not want to place charges because she was afraid of the publicity that would ensue. And so we have a senator now who has had these allegations made, and as much as admitted that he had the relationship with her.
But he claims he didn't have any sex with her until she was 18. He waited until her 18th birthday.
All the same.
Which, you know, mighty white of him, if you ask me.
Well, all that to say, I that's a really offensive thing to say. But the point being is that he... You know, we have a sitting senator who's been involved in activity that the police had investigated. So it really leaves you shaking your head. Dave, we were doing some research in preparation for our interview tonight, and I gave you some stats that are quite shocking about sexual assault in Canada. Mm-hmm. I found out that out of 1,000 cases of sexual assault that occur in Canada, 997 times somebody's going to walk free.
Yeah.
And that in of 1,000, only 33 will be reported to police. Out of those, 29 will be recorded as a crime. Mm-hmm. 12 will have charges laid. 6 will be prosecuted. And 3 people will be convicted out of 1,000 cases.
Yep.
The other thing that was rather shocking, too, was just recently there was a piece in the local media about the local police not following up on what are called unfounded cases. And we find out that 41% of sexual assault complaints are deemed unfounded by the Port Hope Police. Northumberland OPP, it's 47%. Mm-hmm. And yet across Canada, it's 19%.
The numbers are better in Coburg, though. Did you get the Coburg stats?
I did.
I know they weren't included in that original piece.
That's correct. And the 25% is, which is all the same. I mean, those are shocking figures to think that so many cases would not be investigated. Mm-hmm. And what's behind that?
Well, and I want to, at this point, I want to give, because that's true and it's shocking, but one of the things that has come out of this is this relationship that is building now with the Family Violence Prevention Center and our local police. They're working now in partnership with Family Violence Prevention Center to get a better handle on those cases, of those incidents.
Are you talking about the Violence Against Women Enhancement Project? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that and more.
Great.
That and more. So again, these are some shocking statistics that are coming out. A numerical representation of the truth is what Rob calls this, which is extremely important. 11% of women have physically been injured. Women have physical injury resulting from sexual assault. Only 2-4% of all sexual assaults reported are false reports. 60% of sexual abuse / assault victims are under the age of 17. So it's definitely a crime that affects young people, young women in particular. Over 80% of sex crime victims are women. You know, so for those of you out there that are going, yeah, but what about the men? Well, 80% of sex crime victims are women. 80%. All right, that's the 80-20 rule in living color for you. 80% of sexual assaults incidents occur in the home. All right? 17% of girls under the age of 16 have experienced some form of incest. As well, 83% of disabled women will be sexually assaulted during their lifetime. That is huge. That is a ridiculously huge number. And again, lots and lots. But, you know, by the way, the above noted stats have been taken from various studies across Canada. While the numbers can vary, they can never be 100% accurate, but very few generalizations can be made. Number one, sexual assault is far more common than most people would suspect. Extremely common. Number two, relatively few incidents of sexual assault are reported to police for a myriad of reasons. And we're going to get into some of those reasons with Sonia Villega. Young and otherwise vulnerable women are most likely to be sexually abused. And it can happen anywhere, right? It happens primarily in the home based on the statistics, but it can happen anywhere. It can happen at work. You know, I've talked to women who were, you know, young 16-year-old girls working at a donut shop, for instance, where, you know, the boss was constantly asking them to get things off the top shelf. I mean, it's that type of insidious behavior. And most sexual assaults are committed by someone close to the victim, not a stranger. All right. This is not a situation where, you know, it was a random guy I never met before. In too many cases, it's somebody these women know. In way, way too many cases. By the way, there's a new case, thing that's adding into the lexicon as well, something called stealthing, all one word. It can be considered sexual assault, according to some experts. And what we're talking about is men who secretly remove a condom during sex. Yeah, the courts are now possibly looking at this. In a paper in the Columbia Journal of Gender and Law examines a little-known practice some say is rape-adjacent. So, again, we're gonna delve into all of those things in just a few minutes. As I say, our guest in the studio is Sonia Villega. She is coming to us from Peterborough, and we're going to be talking to her about this extremely important topic. But before we get to that, here is Alice Cooper, and the only song I can think of that really sort of hits the nail on the head when it comes to issues of sexual assault and sexual violence. Here's Alice Cooper and Only Women Bleed. We'll play the track. We'll have a break. When we come back, Sonia Villega will be here with us, and we'll be discussing this very important topic. And yeah, we've talked about it a lot, but it's not going away, so we're going to keep talking about it. Thank you.
Man got his woman to take his seat. He got the power, oh, she got the need. She spends her life through pleasing up her man. She feeds him dinner, oh, anything she can. She cries alone at night too often. He smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Man makes your hair gray. He's your life's mistake. All you're really looking for's an even break. He lies right at you. You know you hate this game. Slaps you once in a while and you live in love and pain. She cries alone at night too often. He smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Only women bleed. 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 Only women bleed.
Only women bleed.
Only women bleed. Only women bleed.
Hi, I'm Pete Fisher. Join me and Dave Glover Fridays at 5 during the drive time for Life in the Fishbowl, right here on Northumberland 89.7.
I wish Northumberland 89.7 would do a co-production with a local theatre group like the Northumberland Players.
They have.
Maybe a local writer could serialise his excellent script.
He has.
And broadcast it next fall using local talent.
Already
would
underway.
Would they ever do it?
They
it
are.
Would be fun.
It's
maybe
happening.
They'd hold auditions for the 17 roles.
They are.
Possibly May 3rd and 4th at the Fire Hall Theatre.
Honey, you're not listening.
Auditions for In Continuum, a supernatural drama by local writer-director Bernard Morin at the Fire Hall Theater, May 3rd and 4th at 7 p.m.
It's something I could get excited about.
Auditions May 3rd and 4th, 7 p.m. at the Fire Hall Theater.
The difference is in the listening. Northumberland 89.7 features unique programs and a great variety of music you won't hear anywhere else. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to the broadcast. My guest in studio, always, as always, on Wednesdays is Rob Washburn, professor of BS Journalism at Loyalist College. And joining us today is Sonia Villega, and she is joining us today from the Kawartha Sexual Assault Center. By the way, you can always call them 24 hours a day. They have a crisis support line at 1-866-298-7778. Sonia, welcome to the show. Very glad to have you here.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Rob.
Well, now you've just driven down here from Peterborough, and can you give us? Why don't we start off by giving an introduction of yourself and
sure.
And what you do at the Sexual Assault Center? Maybe some background as well, if you could.
Okay. Well, I'm a social worker by trade, and have been with the Kawartha Sexual Assault Center since 2013. I also teach part time at Fleming. In the social service worker program on the area of family violence. And previous to working with the Sexual Assault Center as the executive director, worked for 18 years in child welfare. So mostly my career is in the field of violence and looking at violence from the ages of 0 to 100 and how it affects us and some of the theory and work behind it.
So it's not just sexual assault, then it's family violence in general.
In terms of my full career,
yeah.
I've looked at all of it.
And so now your focus is sexual assault.
Focus is sexual assault. So that's the scope of our practice. We do see sexual assault within relationship, and so we do broaden out to look at. What do we mean by healthy relationships? What does unhealthy relationships look like? How do we communicate with each other? How do we negotiate with each other? So we spend a lot of time on that, as well as working with individuals who've been affected by sexual assault, violence.
So, Dave, it's no accident that Sonia's here today because month is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And maybe you could tell us a bit about that.
Sure. So the province of Ontario has identified this month as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And so throughout the province, there are different sexual assault centers that are doing campaigns with respect to that. Our center, we're fortunate enough to have what we're calling the Sexual Assault Road Show in Peterborough this month. And that is a project that has been spearheaded by Jane Doe. And Jane Doe is somebody who was raped many years ago and has remained an activist in the field. And they're doing a project funded by the Ontario Arts Council looking at bringing the conversation of sexual assault from community to community in a, what do you call the trailers at the back of a truck, in a container trailer. And so for the month of May, it's parked in Peterborough.
Now, are there any activities down here in Northumberland that people should be aware of?
Yeah, people should be aware that there is a community hub that is that's been announced, I think, this past week in in Cobourg, and it's their first day is Monday, and the hub is called Thrive, and it's the Violence Against Women Community Hub. And the idea behind that hub is that one day a week, a diverse group of service providers will be available to individuals on a walk-in basis, so you don't need to make an appointment. You can come in, and questions or service that you might need with respect to yourself, if you've experienced violence in relationship or with a stranger, you can attend that hub and receive service and linkages to ongoing service.
Why is it so important to have a service like this in a community like Northumberland?
A service like a hub?
Yes.
I think the thinking behind the hub, and there's a hub in Peterborough and in Lindsay as well, and there are other collaborative hubs across the province, but the thinking behind the hub is that when you experience violence in your home, and you're a parent and you have kids, then the question just isn't about the physical injuries or the emotional injuries. It's about, what do I do next? Do I need to go to family court and look at a restraining order? Do I need to look at different access arrangements for my kids? What am I going to do with respect to my economic situation? The mortgage is in somebody else's name. The lease is in somebody else's name. What am I going to do about that? What am I going to do about figuring out my next steps? What am I going to do about safety planning if the person should be stalking me, following me? And so the idea is that a diverse number of individuals, including a medical practitioner, is available to that individual. And in Northumberland, if somebody, the domestic violence medical, the domestic violence and sexual assault medical response is housed in Peterborough, and there are working protocols between different hospitals in Peterborough. So there's, of course, if somebody's hurt, they can receive medical attention in Northumberland, but if they were to need a specialized medical exam related to sexual assault, they would have to travel to
Peterborough. So what we're talking about, so just for clarity for the listeners out there, we're talking about rape kits.
Rape kits, yeah.
And, I mean, we've talked to the local constabulary about that. We've actually talked to the hospital about the fact that there are no rape kits at the hospital and that a woman is sexually assaulted. I mean, part of the problem, what we discussed with the local constabulary when we had the, it was the deputy chief we had in here at one point talking about this very hot topic, was that a lot of the concern from victims is, you know, there really is no way of making a complaint here. You know, so now you've had a problem, you got to, you don't want to involve anybody, you want to involve as few people as possible. You know, you, maybe you went to the hospital and they were like, yeah, we can't help you, you got to go to Peterborough. So it just seems very much involved. It doesn't seem to be a system right now that is adequate for the needs of someone who is has been victimized, as someone who has been assaulted, or in the legal parlance, a complainant.
So that's really good, because that was my next question, was why, before now, people had to go to Peterborough to get service, or Oshawa, or Belleville. Why is it taking so long to have this kind of service? It seems like such an important one and such one of great need.
The collaborative
hub? Yeah, why take so long to get something like this in place?
Why does anything take so long? I mean, it's, you know, systemic issues, it's funding issues, it's... you know, in the hub, what's unique about it is that there are different ministries represented in the hub, which is not something that typically is done. Certainly in Cobourg, they're saying, you know, we'd like to also continue the conversation about next steps, not just crisis support, but next steps and ongoing steps. So those conversations are happening as well. But in terms of if an individual has been sexually harmed, certainly we have a crisis line and they can call that at any time. Cornerstone has a crisis line that they can call, people can call at any time.
That's right.
There's also a victim services crisis line that people can call at any time. So people, And Victim Services has an office here in Coburg as well at the OPP station, I believe. And people can call any one of those three services, and the service response will be there for them. In terms of getting to Peterborough, certainly Victim Services is connected with, you know, maybe a taxi chit, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We can certainly offer that, and I'm fairly certain Cornerstone would offer that transportation assistance to the hospital.
One of the things about living in a rural area oftentimes is isolation, and it's harder sometimes to access services or even to be able to get away from a situation to even start to get help. How do these hubs contribute to facilitating an easier flow or mm-hmm. a quicker flow or a quicker opportunity to address this
situation? In the case of an emergency, a quicker exit.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do they help, or what sort of services do help in those kinds of cases?
Well, I would say that like Northumberland has a few things on the go, and one of the things they have on the go is what's called a situation table, mm-hmm. where imminent crisis type cases can come to that table, and people will leave the table and move into action plans, safety plans, exit plans, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And the table here is fairly strong in that regard. And most of the agencies that are Coburg-centric have spent a lot of time looking at transportation issues mm-hmm, and looking mm-hmm. at ideas around that. And so there are some, I'm not as familiar with the formal transportation system here in Northumberland, but there are certainly small opportunities. Is it the best system? Absolutely not. Like if you're in Baltimore or if you're in Campbellford or, mm-hmm. or you know, Port Hope, I mean, you have a lot of small communities. In this particular community, you have a number of police forces, and you have a number of hospitals, and so all that cooperation between, you know, the municipal Port Hope Police, municipal Coburg Police, I think there's a third municipal.
There's the OPP.
And then the OPP, and so it's fairly complex, that mm-hmm. integration of service, especially in Northumberland, when mm-hmm. you're looking at those different...
Plus you have the county level, and you have the municipal town level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, child welfare is amalgamated with... Hastings area, so you're driving that way. So mm-hmm. there are transportation is certainly in a rural area mm-hmm. a huge issue. If you're on some back 40 road, your options are not that great mm-hmm. in well, terms in of.
And historically, it's that type of isolation that has made this type of abuse. And we're talking about systemic abuse at this point, whether it's spousal abuse or abuse of your children. It sort of really makes it easier, because one of the things that that I've seen anyway when we talk about cases of people who've been victimized for especially a long period of time is one of the things the abuser will do is try and isolate that person, cut off their access to their family, their support mechanisms, mm-hmm. their friends, and isolate them so that they're just in. And if you're in a rural setting, it obviously makes that a lot easier.
Absolutely.
And then
yeah.
On the flip side, it makes it a heck of a lot more difficult for the victims of, mm-hmm. of this type of activity to get the services they need. And they get convinced that there is no help for them. There is no avenues for relief or egress in this case. So just for the listener's sake, Thrive, which is Northumberland's Coalition to End Violence, there are a variety of services that are available at the hub. And in Coburg, it's at the Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center. The hub is open Mondays to 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And some of the services that are offered there are family court information services, crisis support counseling, links to shelters, safety assessments, and risk management strategies. So again, just so you know how dangerous your situation is, maybe you get a better understanding of it. Primary health care, partner assault response programs, child service witness programs, Ontario Works Income Employment Support, Social Housing Supports, as well as Ontario Electricity Supports. But when it comes to these issues of violence, really the safety assessment, risk management strategies, links to shelters, crisis support counseling, as well as family court information, those are all very, very important. The walk-ins take place on Mondays from 9 to 1 p.m. You can also email them, by the way, folks, at thrivenorthumberland@gmail.com. If you are a person who is in a situation like this and you're struggling, or maybe you have a friend, or you know somebody who is in a situation like this, Cornerstone is available 24 hours a day at 1-800-268-3757. The Victim Services Hotline is 1-888-822-7729. We're going to repeat those numbers for you later on in the show. Cornerstone is located, as you know, at 40, as you may know anyway, at 40 Swain Street in Coburg. And their number is 905-372-1545. So again, this is about finding help, mm-hmm. getting that assistance. How do you overcome people who just are in a situation where they just don't think they are ever going to get help? I'm trapped. Even if I leave him or her, even if I leave the situation, you know, they're going to find me. They're going to take me back. Or if I leave, I can't take my kids with me. Do I leave my kids in a situation where they're now going to be victimized? Because that was something you mentioned earlier when you said so many questions go through mm-hmm. the minds mm-hmm. of someone who's a victim. I mean, it's not just simply, I mean, everybody says the same thing. Well, why don't you just leave him? Why don't you just pack up your stuff and leave him? It's not that easy. It really isn't, is it?
No, it's not that easy, and some people leave more than once as well, mm-hmm. right? And you know, probably the biggest message is the leaving safely, because certainly you're at highest risk when you leave as well. And so that's the piece around the risk management strategies and the safety strategies, and anybody that's in the VAW sector, and that stands for the Violence Against Women sector, mm-hmm. would have a good sense of how to build a safety plan, how to look at potential risk. There is a project happening in Canada right now where Renfrew area is part of that project, and Renfrew in particular had, there were three women who were killed by an ex-partner, the same ex-partner, last year. And so there's a project happening in Canada through Status of Woman Canada looking at the, and now I'm kind of pulling it back to sexual assault, but looking at the impact of rape culture in rural areas, because there's certainly a different feel, a different flavor there in rural cultures, and then again the isolation. And so that's a 3-year project. Really, seriously, there are a lot of rural areas in Canada. It's a pretty big mm-hmm.
Well,
country.
We are probably 80% rural in this country.
Yeah.
I think maybe 75%. Yeah. That's maybe not 80 anymore. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of our conversation with Sonia Valenga. We are talking about sexual assault. May is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, in case you didn't know. And yeah, we talk about it a lot on my show because it's still a problem. We'll be back.
Friday afternoons are the best. And they're even better when you spend them with me, Jordan Appleman. Just listen to my show, The Core, happening on Friday afternoon from 1 to 4. It's the perfect show to relax to and get ready to enjoy the weekend. I'll play all the best music for you, tell you what's going on this weekend, and give you news that'll make you shake your head, smile, and maybe even learn something. Just listen to The Core from 1 to 4 on Friday afternoon on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Why not come out and enjoy a fabulous movie-going experience at the Rainbow Cinemas?
Playing April 28th to May 4th, The Circle, rated PG, The Boss Baby, rated G, The Zookeeper's Wife, rated 14A, and Gifted, rated PG.
Rainbow Cinemas are in the Northumberland Mall, 1111 Elgin Street West in Coburg. For showtimes, call 905-372-2444 or visit rainbowcinemas.ca.
The music you like is the music we play. Listen to Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to the broadcast. We are talking about sexual assault. May is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Our guest in the studio is Sonia Valenga. She is coming to us from the Kawartha Sexual Assault Center up there in Peterborough. We have been talking about the Thrive, Family Violence Prevention, Violence Against Women, and the Silence Against the and the Silence About the Violence. Also, another event that's coming up. Rob, you had a follow-up question.
Yeah, I did. When we were talking earlier about women trying to break away from a violent situation is one set of circumstances. But some of the things that we've been talking about in our show here in previous weeks has been just how the courts handle things. And, you know, when you look at the statistics, I mentioned them earlier, that, you know, in 1,000 cases, 997 people walk free. And that, 12 charges get laid. You know, three times someone will be convicted. I mean, those kinds of stats are not encouraging for someone to step forward. And I'm wondering if you could speak to what are the issues there and what's happening in our community to give women better support and a feeling that they can come forward and that the courts will support them.
Sure. So there are many reasons why women wouldn't go to police, and some of it is because it's a fairly long court process mm-hmm. that they have to show their vulnerable selves to, and mm-hmm. Certainly the conversation around court and sexual assault was like blown wide open with the Gian Gomeshi mm-hmm. Trial. And so there is some rules around how you approach that within a court system, and it's certainly better than what it was, let's say, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, if there's no evidence, so if it didn't involve full penetration and there's evidence in a rape kit, it's difficult, mm-hmm. he said, she said. If it did involve a rape kit, then there might be, you know, he's saying it was consensual. She's saying, no, mm-hmm. it wasn't. And so the whole question of was it consensual or was it not consensual gets really torn apart within the court system. And mm-hmm. certainly we saw a lot of discussion out west with the judge who, in a 2014 sexual assault trial, asked the complainant why she couldn't keep her knees
yep.
together.
Yes.
And said sometimes sex and pain go together. Mm-hmm. And those were the phrases he used. There was a case out east where a woman was found in a taxi completely passed mm-hmm. out. And the judge said, well, you know, was she, we don't know if she was too drunk to consent. And our approach is if you are intoxicated and drunk, you are not able to give consent.
It's Rona Ambrose, the leader of the opposition in federal parliament. She's been calling that judges get mandatory training. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think any sort of learning is always valuable learning. And so I would always support learning, you know, at any level, at a community level like we're doing now, and at a professional level within the court system. I think I'm not a judge, I'm not a lawyer, but I think some of the worry is that judges have to be, you know, sort of impartial and away from the political discussion, if you will, of sexual assault. But the way it's approached right now in terms of the training is part of the language we use within the court system, part of the response we might use within the court system. So the training isn't around saying, you know, all sexual assaults are true or all this is the, you know, this is what sexual assault is. It's really around the discourse we have, and in our break, we kind of talked a bit about that discourse, that language we use, and we've seen evidence of mm-hmm. it in different news shows. We've seen evidence of it in different political parties south of us, and sometimes we use the phrase rape culture, and we say, you know, and some people say, well, what do you mean by rape culture? And we would say it's a culture that says it's okay to use language to denigrate a woman. And an example that I might use if we talk about masculinity and hockey, for example, you know, if a guy hasn't been strong enough, tough enough, he might be called a pussy. Mm-hmm. And so that choice of words, we would say that's part of rape culture, that we would use that choice of words, don't be such a pussy, mm-hmm. Is part of rape culture. Another example that I might use with people, and it's more related to domestic violence, but I ask young men, what do you call that shirt, that t-shirt, that white t-shirt, you know, that tank top t-shirt? And mm-hmm. every boy can tell me that is called a wife Peter shirt. Mm-hmm. And so then I say, okay, now I want you to describe what a husband beater shirt looks like. And that's a foreign concept to mm-hmm. people. They go, well, there's no such thing.
Well, it's typically a house dress.
Oh, is it?
I'm
okay.
I'm
I don't
just
know.
Just trying to add a little levity.
Yeah. But the fact that we know some of this, if you were to go to Urban Dictionary and look up some of the swear words, they're really looking at the denigration of the woman's body.
That's right.
And it's so embedded in our culture, in our way of interacting. And so if you talk to young people who are in high school and college, they'll say it's alive and well in terms of the conversations, the comments. We've been doing some work.
Well, there was a thing going on in American campuses, and still they've been trying to clamp down on it. I know at Harvard, as a matter of fact, and a couple of the other bigger universities in the U.S. where no means yes, and yes means anal. That was the thing.
Right.
That's what you probably heard about that.
Yeah.
So again, this was actually an active campaign on college campuses. So clearly, you know, the idea that the rape culture doesn't exist is crap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and this is why I say it's really up to men. This is why we're really trying to connect with men in the audience here, because I want men to have this conversation. I think it's important that men have this conversation with other men. You know, you hear it. I mean, Donald Trump was talking about it when he made his famous, you know, grab him by the pussy comment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it was referred to as locker room talk.
Right.
Well, that is not acceptable locker room talk. It's not acceptable coffee shop talk. It should not. But it's the 21st century. We're supposed to. Women are now the majority in this planet. There are more than 53% women on this planet right now. Women outnumber men. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we are still so cavalier about denigrating what is essentially the majority of people in our culture is really something that we have to fix. And it is something that can only be fixed if men take part in the conversation. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of our conversation with Sonia Valenga. We are talking about sexual assault. May is Sexual Assault Awareness Month in the province of Ontario, across the country, and around the world. So please, start the conversation. It starts with men. And gentlemen, it's time to have that conversation with your sons.
Hi, we are Cedar Rail's Wendy Bellin
and David Hayes. Our show, It's All About the Music, features the life and music of artists from the 50s up until today, as well as some of our local artists.
So tune in Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m.
or Monday mornings from 3 to 4 a.m.
And remember, it's all about the music. All on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
The Coburn community has been a critical part of Midas's continued success, and we want to take a moment to give back. On May 6th, come down to 6 Strathy Road and help us support our troops for Canadian Military Appreciation Event. We'll be offering $24 oil changes. That includes 5 liters of national branded oil, a new oil filter, and we'll even check your car vitals. We will also be raising money in support of Wounded Warriors Canada, a great organization helping injured and sick soldiers. That's May 6th for charity barbecue and tasty treats and great prizes. See your locally owned Midas store in Cobourg for details.
Got an upcoming event? Tell us and we'll share it with all of Northumberland. Email your information to info@northumberland897.ca.
And welcome back to the broadcast. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. This is Northumberland 89.7.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to start this time because you were talking about rape culture and we were talking about it in very broad strokes. I'd like to know what sort of local initiatives are going on to address this issue of rape culture in our community.
Well, I can talk about the Kawartha Sexual Assault Initiatives. I'm sure there are other initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
I can certainly say that the Community Hub Initiative is made up of a group of service providers, and they have that group, and I sit at that table. The Kawartha Sexual Assault Center sits at that table. They have done some dating violence public education initiatives with young students, and in fact created a short video, involved some students in the creation of that. I know Cornerstone has a men's initiative where they're saying, you know, tell me how you define men, and looking at men expressing messages of healthy masculinity versus toxic masculinity, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We have two initiatives One is an initiative with the OHL, and that is having conversations with OHL teams across Ontario, looking at having healthy respect and boundaries and relationships with girls. And so we lead workshops with the hockey teams, and certainly if there were some teams that aren't in the OHL that wanted to have that conversation, they could call us and we would certainly have that conversation. We do a fair bit of work with Fleming College, and I know Fleming has a smaller campus here, but certainly once a year we do a Take Back the Night Walk in Cobourg, and we you know, it's been a lot of, you know, at least 50 people showing up.
They do the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes as well.
The Walk a Mile.
Support.
Yep, and we also have a program that we're just kind of getting off the ground called Mending, which really reflects men ending violence, and it's a program where we're inviting men into the conversation. And we've had the opportunity to do a bit of work with Fourth Line Theater, which is out of Millbrook, and they are going to be showcasing a play next year called Who Killed Snow White? And that play is loosely, it looks at the death of a young person after a sexual assault, some internet harassment after a sexual assault. And I've had a chance to go to two of the readings and conversations. People in the audience are asking the actors who are doing the readings, and they're asking the young men, you know, what's it like for you? And the young men are also sharing that they're tired of this. They're tired of being put on the spot and having to act a certain way in order to be accepted as a good enough male. And so they've certainly identified that it's a problem for them as well. We've had young men call our office and say, you know, I've got some friends and the conversation's horrible. How should I challenge that conversation? And it's lexicon that young men don't quite have yet. And they are bombarded with marketing, with everything out there that says, you know, this is who a woman is and this is how you should treat a woman. And so it's very hard for young men as well. And we've certainly, you know, renewed our efforts to say, let's have conversations with young people, because they are the ones who are most at risk, the age group 17 to 24, especially drug-facilitated sexual assaults, most at risk. And so let's have those conversations with those young people at Frosh Weeks, at schools, at high schools, with groups of young people, with hockey teams, with lacrosse teams. Let's have these conversations because they're important conversations. And today with the internet, these conversations, the hockey youth that were involved with some of these internet conversations, their career is cut short. So even if they don't believe it or have that value, it's going to have an impact. The world is no, you know, we're not really, and we saw that example with Fox News, they're not tolerating this kind of conversation. And so we invite men to join in talking about
this. Do you think there's enough being done in our business community? Because you brought up the issue of Fox News and how that corporate culture is changing. Is there enough being done within local businesses to start to address this? Because we talk a lot about young people. We talk a lot about the sports. And we talk about a lot of different things. But we don't ever talk about in the workplace and the types of harassment. So I know Dave mentioned it earlier. But what's being done locally to reach out to business and to start to make change there?
Well, you know, for all the opinions on Kathleen Wynne, one of the things she really did spend a lot of energy on was this whole area of sexual assault and harassment. So she's also, there has been training initiatives for hotel industries. There have been training initiatives for businesses in terms of harassment, understanding what it is, what the law says. There's been training initiatives for lawyers, Crown attorney. We're involved in a training initiative with the Peterborough Police Service. So there are a lot of initiatives underway. And so it's very hopeful to hear that there are those initiatives. Initiatives like this conversations on radio, very important as well.
Well, hopefully this won't be the last one we have with Sonia Villega, who's been my guest in the studio with Rob Washburn as we work through today and consider this a reminder that May is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so please be aware and have the conversation. You know, it starts with a conversation, and men, I really implore you to get involved. By the way, come on out and celebrate the completion of the Gathering Place Memorial feature, The Sheltering Form, a sculpture by Francis Gage. The unveiling takes place on Sunday, May 28th. That's at 12:30 p.m. in Victoria Park. Brought to you by the Committee for the End the Silence Against Violence Committee. You can check them out on internet as well. Send them an email at esavcoburg@gmail.com. Sonia, I want to thank you for being here today. Obviously, this conversation is brief. It's the fastest hour on radio for that reason. You can follow us on Twitter. Thanks again to everyone for coming by and taking part in this conversation as you do at home and abroad. We'll be back again next week for more Consider This. Here's Aretha Franklin. We're talking about respect.